Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Alfred Schaefer was let out of jail recently. He'd done a 6-month stint in jail for doing a Nazi salute some years ago. And it's really quite disgusting, the stupid things that they put you in jail for in Germany. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with a Nazi salute. It's the old Roman salute. And I also read that Hitler claimed that the Roman salute originally came from the German tribes, even. So it might even be an old Germanic salute as well. But anyway, Alfred was put in jail basically for no reason at all. And at least now he's out. And hopefully he might stand a chance that they will sort of leave him alone. I can't be totally sure, but I think that his chances of going to jail are getting less. And I think that for many reasons. And it may even be that Alfred has pioneered some stuff by showing them that no matter how much time they toss him into jail for, that he remains the same, that he's not going to change. He is what he is, and he's always going to say what he wants to say. So it could be that Alfred has in many ways done some pioneering work that hopefully can help other Germans. Because I'll bet you that even the cops must be saying to themselves, you know, is it really worth doing all this stuff? Even they must be asking questions. And I'll bet you even the judges will be thinking. And this is why all forms of activism by all whites everywhere is very good. You're going to take a beating, but it doesn't matter, because somebody has to stand up to all these weirdo juries. Why whites, who are actually honest and have never done anything illegal probably in their lives, are now being tossed into jail for very obscure and weird reasons that only apply to Jews. During the show, I was telling Alfred about a little bit of film footage that I saw from Sweden. And what I'm going to do is show you that little bit of film footage. Basically, you'll see a camera crew and they're busy talking about these blacks in Sweden and how these blacks are not assimilating. So here you got these blacks from Africa. They remain what they are. They don't give a shit. And they are not going to become Swedes. But look, even if they pretended that they were now Swedes, the fact is they're not. In the same way that no freaking black can pretend he's a German. Even if he speaks German, even if he's lived in Germany for 30 years, he's not a German. And in my eyes, anyone who's an American, the only true Americans that exist are white Americans. Ditto for Canadians. I cannot see that you can really say that blacks and Jews and all kinds of other scum are truly patriotic to America. It's not the same thing. This is just a bunch of Jewish claptrap. Returning to this Swedish video footage. So the journalist is there and they've got their cameras rolling and they're talking about these blacks and how these blacks are not changing. And then when it's over, a bunch of blacks actually start attacking them. But then a very bizarre event occurs. And it shows you how people are getting tired. You won't believe it. That's why I'm showing you the film footage. But it looks like a white man who's disabled and he's on a little battery-powered mobility scooter actually drives his scooter at full speed straight into one of the blacks who is the most violent. He actually smacks straight into the most violent black. I thought that was quite something, that someone is freaking disabled, a white person who's disabled or semi-disabled, has obviously had enough of this bullshit from these non-whites, and it's quite impressive how this person on their little scooter smacks straight into the bloody black. I thought it was awesome. And it just shows you that more and more whites, even people who aren't particularly strong or particularly athletic, they're getting sick and tired of this shit. And I think what I'll do is I'll add in another little video, which is in a similar flavor, but it's from America. And it's got a little white girl in a class. And all the blacks are busy doing their wild nonsense. And they're dancing on the desks and they're carrying on like crazy. And this lone little white girl is just trying to do her freaking classwork while the blacks are just carrying on and going wild. And check out what the little white girl does. I think one of those blacks came off quite second best. So the point is that quietly, whites are getting more and more sick of this shit. Down to little girls at school, people who are disabled or semi-disabled, they're getting sick of this shit. And as Alfred and I were talking about the fact that there's a biological response, just stick together, white people, stick together, work together as a team. You are in for some incredible laughs because Jews and blacks are going to see their asses. They are big nuisances in Western civilization. And one day you're going to see what happens. But you can see people are getting more and more tired of this shit. And even the tamest people, girls, old people, etc., everyone's getting sick of this bullshit. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a lot of fun in the years ahead. Just stick together, stand firm, and you're going to be in for a lot of laughs. I could be wrong about the little girl in the classroom. When I was looking at it again, it looks more like a boy. It looks more like a young boy that actually does this. But you'll see what he does. And I think one of the blacks comes off very much second best. And I'm warning you that you'll see one day that blacks are big crybabies just like the Jews. It's a competition between who's the biggest crybaby. Whereas whites take beatings all the time. And whites just take it and don't complain about it. So here's the film footage. It's a good laugh.
And they don't assimilate well into the Swedish culture and society. And they're unemployed. And they're poor. So you add all these factors together, and their youth are feeling marginalized and don't speak Swedish very well, so they don't get jobs or get into the Swedish youth culture either.
But not everyone is hostile.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my cousin lives in Melbourne.
Many locals are polite and friendly and happy to talk.
It's good. Yeah. I'm very happy.
But what happened next changed everything. The police leave, and as we prepare to go, young men masking their faces arrive.
Good, you're doing good.
You're doing good?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Take it easy.
Okay, you too.
And attack.
Go! Mate! Go!
Don't you touch me!
Go! Go! Okay, we're going to ring.
Please.
We are leaving, but you don't need to hurt us. There's no need to be unkind.
You can't Don't do it.
The gang's attention turns when a local intervenes and drives his mobility scooter into the most violent attacker.
Move. We've been individually attacked.
Hi there, Alfred. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Jan. It's good to be on a show together with you again. Hello.
Well, it's good to have you out of jail again. And I hope that you don't ever have to go back to jail again.
Well, you know, okay, first of all, for the listeners, I just got released just 2.5 weeks ago on the 20th of February, and now it's the 14th of March. That's what's almost 3 weeks. And I always say that never at no point in time was my cell as tiny and permanent as the coffin, for example, of my cousin who died 2 days after the second vaccination, or what we call Jew shot. So this is a war that we're in. And my time in that prison cell, actually, it was pretty good this time because I was working in the garden the 6 months. You know, I asked for it and I got the work in the garden. So I was outside a lot. And I learned so much that is important for our, for our battle now, for understanding what's happening. So it wasn't a lost time. It was no more a lost time for me than if you were an astronaut and you complained about the capsule, space capsule, being small and cramped. That's part of the job. So this prison time was just part of the job, and I feel very confident and good about the outcome. And we're on the winning streak, and we're winning more obviously every single day that goes by now.
Oh, that's very good to hear. That's very good to hear. And if you don't have other charges against you hanging over you, then that is the best news of all, because the stuff is a nuisance. It might be part of the job, but it is a nuisance. It'll be much better if you're out and about and you can be free.
Yes, right now there is nothing open that they have against me. Oh, they always threaten that they have, pending investigations and so forth, but that's just a stick that they, starts waving at us or something. There's nothing open. I have nothing open right now. And they know that it's game over for them. In fact, the day before I was released, I had a visit from the what's called the Constitutional Police, or in German it's called Verfassungsschutz. And they asked me if I have now seen, if I have einsichtig, if I'm einsichtig. Einsichtig means if I have seen the ways that I've gone wrong. And it says, you bet I understand. And I told them there are four things that I will never make myself guilty of ever in my life. And here are the four points. I will never fail to render assistance if I see some assistance is required. Like, for example, if a child is drowning in the lake or something, I'm going to try to save it. Or if the house is on fire, I'm going to call a fire alarm and try to put the fire out. I will never do something that one would consider obstruction of justice. I will never be an accomplice through silence. And I would never do something that constitutes aiding and abetting a crime. And then I told them, if they have blots of toner on paper that are all self-contradictory things, and they call that the laws, then that is their problem, not mine. These self-contradictory laws that they have that are accusing me of being guilty of something, that is their problem, not mine. And then I went on to remind them of the insurance fraud that Larry Silverstein is very guilty of, and that has not been forgotten. It's only been delayed slightly, and we will be going after that. And I told them, I also offered them that I would be more than happy to give their superiors a presentation I'll go there and explain to them why it is now time to come over to our side, because a lot of these people in these services have skills that we actually need to help people get out of the condition that they find themselves in, and that would be that way they would be eligible for forget some of the stuff they might have been involved in because they just didn't know they were indoctrinated, but now they are informed, now they know, and everything they do now on the wrong side, they will be held accountable for it. And I also reminded them that faster than they can possibly imagine, they themselves will have a different people that they will be reporting to, because this is going over, and the lies are crumbling faster than they can imagine.
Wow, that is brilliant stuff that you said to them there. That is really brilliant. That is excellent. And I'm sure that there are things that they also sit and talk about and think about now, especially with the rise of groups like the AfD. Isn't that causing some waves there in Germany?
Well, you know, there's like the AfD and actually all the political parties are to some degree or completely controlled opposition. But what you're saying is, yeah, it does give them reason for concern. But none of these controlled political parties will touch the key subjects. Like, for example, who it is who is to blame, who is responsible for 9/11, who is crying about some fake, phony Holocaust all the time, nonstop. And everything comes onto the table now. Everything will be in the light, and then we will see how people react and where they find their role, where are they guilty or not guilty of keeping these lies going, you know, as long as we've seen them go. I mean, we should put it this way: we should never ever have allowed this to come this far, as we find it now. But it is the way it is, and that's why we need all capable people now, all hands on deck, to get this, to steer our journey through space in a way that we will survive. I always say it's like an airplane. If you're sitting on an airplane and you find that its flight trajectory will take you straight into a mountain range, a big mountain, you know, that's straight ahead, then you have only that time left to correct the flight path before you hit that mountain. And right now we are in free fall. We're going to see hyperinflation. The people who got jabbed are finding out that they've been jabbed with a bioweapon. The invasion of all these, you know, all the sludge from third world countries being pumped into white countries. This gloating about the Jews feeling so confident that they have the destiny of the white race in their hands, and now it's the time to exterminate the white race as they're whining and crying about hate. You know, I mean, all these things are now coming out, and you change your whole being, your whole character, your whole existence once you understand what has been done to us going back before we were born, and what the agenda is. Even if we're old and we die before this agenda goes through, we are now at the point where it's up to us to stop this insanity, which, if left unchecked, will be the end of our civilization as we have known it, and it'll be the end of civilized life on this planet for the human being.
That's very interesting. There's a bunch of things I just want to comment on, a lot of stuff. Interesting about what you say about the AfD, etc. I suppose in that sense, the AfD is a lot like Donald Trump. They're getting news, people are getting excited about them, but they're not the real final thing. We don't really have like proper racial patriots, basically real Nazis standing to run as president or that kind of thing. So the second best thing is just vote for the ones that seem to be causing the most trouble for the Jews at the moment, even though they are not the real opposition. At least it's a little bit of a step forward.
Yes, you know, like the reason we don't believe we have anybody there to run for something like president is because this whole political system, what we call a democracy or a demonocracy, you know, it's the Jewish system, and they have control of all the media, and they atomize and suppress anything that is not a part of their agenda. But the way we gauge our progress is not by don't we have any characters who are, you know, up there competing with, you know, the presidential race or something. No, we gauge our progress by the rate of or how deeply is the understanding of what's happened to us. How deeply is that spreading? Like how much is it in the minds of people? And I am amazed almost every single day, people I've never seen before we just come into some of kind of a fluke meeting and exchange a few words, and they understand everything as if they've been beside us this whole awakening, during this whole awakening process. So that is an indicator that the people everywhere are waking up, and this will drain the swamp of the Jewish system. They won't have anybody, they'll be going at each other's, stabbing each other in the back as they see their power base just slipping away. So that's why it is now the opportunity, the golden time for people from the other side to come over to our side and offer us whatever skills or talents they have to get this right. Because all those people, invaders from the third world slums who are here, sucking us dry, eating us to the bone in this feeding frenzy, they will all be rounded up and sent back home, all of them. And the farther it goes down, the more chaotic it is, the more of them will just be killed. They just won't survive because so many of us will die. Like, it'll be a bloodshed like this planet has never seen before, simply because of the population numbers that we're looking at now. I mean, how many are we? 8 billion people on this planet, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, Alfred, I do enjoy your psychological war that you wage on the cops. I like it. Very, very cool. Telling them, your side is losing. You better start preparing. We're going to be your bosses. We might just have to go and get a rope and put it around your neck, May. If you're not careful, just watch it.
Absolutely. These people got the very clear message that I have absolutely zero fear of them. And I also reminded them, I do not think of you as my enemies. I says, you are a patient. You have been indoctrinated. If you actually believe those silly lies and so forth, that is a problem that we're going to help you get out of it. But if you want to survive this, you have got to come to our side, because it's a biological response to a biological attack. And we know, and it's all going as planned. If you call, the laws of nature have a certain way of unfolding, and everything is following these laws of nature now. I mean, what they have toner, blots of toner on paper, they don't interest us a bit, not at all. If they had a law that says I'm supposed to stick my finger up my ass and get an injection against corona snakes, that's their problem, not mine. I'm not going to take the injection or stick my finger up their ass because they think I should, because they have a law that says I should. And that's what their laws are. They are nothing. They're just, that's why they always, throughout the ages, it's always, the Jews have always been called the scribblers. They scribble, there's some kind of laws on thing. They control the money, they control the media to tell us some lies and so forth. It's just deceit and theft and mass murder. That's their wealth. That's their power. But if they continue their agenda to exterminate the white race, the reason for this agenda for them is because we've always been able to see through their deceptions and their lies. But if they killed us, then all the other races would be next in line for their own extermination. They're only going to keep their feet still as long as the feeding frenzy goes on, and there's something to feed off of, like to feed off of us. They get our homes, they get our, the food that we produce. But once, if we were gone, then what do? They eat each other. They go after each other. That is then pure hell on planet Earth. So that's the decision. And at the end of the day, every single person does find their way back to that which every single living species on this planet has, and it's the will to survive. They will understand that if they want to survive, they will come to our side and see if they can be useful for us, because then that's their best chance of not getting killed, period. That's it.
Well, I must say, one thing that I really, really admire about what you do is how you speak to the cops. You're not afraid of them. You talk to them. You talk to them face to face. You don't let them intimidate you. You actually are busy doing your own psychological warfare and intimidation right there. But I like the way that you keep talking to them. I think that it's so valuable, and they themselves have to go back and say to themselves, you know, we spoke to this guy, and he's a little bit nutty, but you know, there's something about him, you know, the fact that you're on their level, because it's really, you're talking to someone of your own kind, of your own kind. You're not talking to a Jew. You're talking to other Germans, but they're just Germans that have been brainwashed. And I must say, Alfred, that I've spoken to lots of people in different countries, and every now and then I speak to someone who's turned into a hardcore Nazi, and then I say to them, okay, how did you get here? Just the other day, I was talking to a guy from Holland, and I said to him, you know, how did you get to be like this? How long did it take you? And he told me it took him about 17 years. It was like a gradual process. And he said to me, I used to believe everything that they told me, all the liberal bullshit they told me, I used to believe it. Now I'm a Nazi. And then he explained how he slowly started changing. And because people also have things that they believe, and it takes a time. I think in his case, he said that 9/11 started his awakening, and it took him like 10 years to like really get into that. And then from there, it started accelerating. Next thing you know, he's he's a National Socialist, and he's Hitler loving and all that kind of thing. And there's something else. I was talking, and I must tell you, once people are awakened, hey, they start doing stuff. I was talking to another Dutch guy, he and his buddy were interrogated by the cops. You know what they were interrogated for? They did a little bit of technological trickery. And they were going, and they were using laser to put messages, to display messages on buildings in the evening. So they would display some stuff on a building, and the people walking around would see it. and so that's almost like those guys from Goyim TV, Handsome Truth and them, who are spreading flyers. But in this case, these Dutch were using lasers to display the messages. Anyway, the cops eventually started grabbing hold of them and taking them in for interrogation for hours on end. And like all other whites, these are people who've never broken the law in their lives. They've never stolen anything from anybody. They've never been a criminal. But hey, now they understand the truth. They know the agenda, and now they are starting to just, all they're doing is just trying to get the message to other whites. Anyway, they were pretty cool and calm, and they handled their hours worth of interrogation, and they weren't stressed. They came out of it, and they're still busy. They're still busy spreading their messages. You know, so once you get white people's backs up, you start pissing them off, the white man's going to start hitting back.
You know what? You're describing very nicely the biological process that I always like to refer to. These people, they knew they had a certain talent to do a certain thing, you know, to wake other people up. Because this is what's key is once we all understand what the truth is, then the Jew is finito, finished, okay? Because his whole power rests on lies, deception. First of all, you have to understand that that the Jew is now trying to cement the monetary debt that the entire world has to the Jew, because the Jew has stolen everything and has tricked and cheated to get all the money into his hands. If you just look at the laws of the Talmud, you know that it's something that is not owned by a Jew is counted as free property for the first Jew who can get their hands on it, sort of thing. And every trick is okay for the Jew to seize our money, our property, and whatever. So it's not a level playing field. So they get all, now that they own everything, they're trying to convert that global debt that the world has to these Jews, according to the Jews' owned mindset, into a moral debt with lies, the hollow hoax. I mean, you know, anybody who doesn't understand that that's all a lie, these people are no longer taken seriously, and they become not only someone who's not taken seriously, but they become the object of scorn I don't want to have a hollow hoax believer anywhere near me, because I just find they're so outrageously sick in the mind. And this is, I mean, the Jews now are doing everything they're doing now when they stop people, like, for example, your friends who were who are projecting images onto buildings to wake people up, and then the cops come and give them trouble. And then you're saying, well, they're calm and everything. Well, of course. And they're every one of these interactions with the authorities, they are – it's like combat experience. You know, it's like you're if you're a wrestler or a mountain climber or something, every time you do your thing, you get better and better at it. And that's part of it. And there's more and more people coming on board as we speak all over the place. And that's – it's very good to hear that. Like, yeah. Okay, back over to you.
Okay, well, I must tell you, when you talk here about the Jews and the things they've done in the past, there's a free book that I give away on my website called The Jews by the Frenchman Hilaire Belloc. And he wrote this book in 1920. And I must tell you that book, I'll still turn it into an audiobook, but I'll tell you, in that book, Hilaire Belloc goes into tremendous detail about all the things of the Jews. And although that book was written in like 1920 or 1921, it's almost as if you are reading something from today. It could have been written yesterday, because the things he describes, the behavior patterns, the problems, etc., everything is, you can't believe this was written 100 years ago. You can't believe it was written even before Hitler, came onto the scene. And yet there it is, all spelled out for you. But I want to just mention about what you were talking about, laws of nature, biological response, and the will to survive. Alfred, I have observed whites closely over the years, including here in South Africa. And this is one of the reasons why I'm totally confident about our ability as a race to survive, is because I've seen how whites behave when they are really under physical threat. Whites are calm and cool, and they go about their daily business, and they don't trouble anybody. But if somebody comes and starts stealing and threatening and doing wild stuff, then suddenly you'll see whites go wild quickly. They move, and they move fast. Now, there are two incidents that I can cite here in South Africa in recent years. In July 2021, there was a move by a certain bunch of blacks where they had blacks running wildly all across South Africa, mainly in the province of Natal, and they were trying to burn down shopping malls and warehouses that related to business. But as these thousands of blacks, I think I may even have sent you a link to some of the film footage at one time. But anyway, as these hordes of blacks were just pouring out and going really crazy, you know, there were whites who were playing a big role in security, etc. And whites also immediately, it was at its worst in Natal, and there were whites who immediately suddenly started setting up roadblocks, started getting together, people starting to block roads, standing guard, etc. And it happened within a couple of hours, Alfred. And believe it or not, in all this violence, about 400 blacks died, zero whites died, a couple of Indians were killed by blacks, and then the Indians also shot a bunch of blacks. Blacks came to kill some Indians, and Indians are pretty much geeks, okay? Well, can you believe these Indians, when these blacks descended on Indians to come and slaughter them in one of their suburbs, Indians shot and killed 38 blacks. Afterwards, the blacks were like butthurt, and the blacks were like, oh no, the Indians were massacring us, the Indians were massacring us. Meanwhile, the blacks had gone to kill the Indians. So, and then I have spoken to, I've not had time to fully investigate this whole thing. I know people who were very involved in this. One guy told me that because there are strict gun laws and you can't just shoot to kill immediately, there were lots of whites who used paintball guns. You're not going to believe it, but there were white guys with paintball guns shooting at hordes of blacks that were attacking the malls and the warehouses. And this one white guy said to me, he said, Jan, we shot so many blacks' eyes out using nothing but paintball guns. There are lots of blacks who've lost their fucking eyeballs because we shot them straight in their fucking faces, okay? And over and above all that, there were blacks who were being run over by fucking cars. And then if it got too dangerous, then somebody would actually pull out a pistol and fucking shoot one. I'm telling you, Alfred, when the whole thing was over, 400 dead blacks, no dead whites. There were even some guys in Natal who hired a small plane to be loaded up with ammunition in Johannesburg and to fly the fucking ammunition down to Natal. And it happened within a day. And there was another guy who said to me, he said, he and some other guys were doing like some guard duty at a roadblock that they set up their own roadblocks. Oh, and by the way, Alfred, the police, the black cops, hid in the police stations for about 2 to 3 days. The black cops hid in the fucking police station for 2 to 3 days. The only people who were out there fucking taking on the blacks were mostly whites and Indians. The whites and the Indians were actually working together quite nicely, okay? I've even got film footage where Indians were driving around fucking hunting blacks down. That is a first, okay, Alfred? That's a fucking first, okay? But the will to survive is a very powerful thing. And I'll tell you something that happened in my suburb. I actually did a video about it a couple of months ago. We had a little bit of a wild time here in September in the suburb where I live. We had two incidents about 2 weeks apart because the suburb where I live is mostly whites, then Indians, then a tiny handful of blacks. And the whites and the Indians get along quite well. And what I like about the Indians is we've got most of the Indians are Muslims. So they may be geeks, but they don't take that much shit, okay? And and the blacks are targeting Indians as well for theft and crime. So the Indians are getting quite pissed off by this. Anyway, what happened was we had two incidents where blacks were coming at night and they started doing wild things. And in the one case, these were blacks from Zimbabwe, by the way. They came and they thought that the suburb I'm in is like easy meat. Okay. So they started like trying to rob somebody at like 2 a.m. in the morning. And then a security company started chasing them and the blacks were running from house to house. They even at times were able to jump on people's roofs and jump from the one place to the other. But anyway, it started at like 2 a.m. in the morning and the security company was hunting for them. Then the neighborhood watch started getting involved in it and it carried on for hours as they were chasing them through the night. And when I heard about it was like, I happened to be up early And at about quarter to six in the morning, I suddenly hear a whole bunch of noise. I hear people shouting and it's going wild. I hear people suddenly shouting and screaming. And then I hear a gunshot and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Okay. Anyway, I get outside and Alfred, in my quiet suburb, there were whites and Indians and blacks, black security guards, whites from the neighborhood watch, Indians from the neighborhood watch. They all fucking descended on a house two doors away from me. They even had a drone. Somebody even had a fucking drone, and they had a drone that was monitoring the blacks, and they were like telling the others, go there. They've jumped into this property, etc. And what happened was all the shouting that I heard was as all the vehicles came to this house and they were dashing into this house, and one of the black security guards shot the black in his leg. And the black was fucking injured. The other black ran away. They couldn't get him. But you should have seen whites, Indians, fucking everybody armed. There was a young white guy with a fucking paintball gun. He didn't have a real weapon. He had a paintball gun. All the whites and the Indians were walking around with 9mm pistols. I'm telling you, if there's ever a race war in South Africa, it'll be the first race war in history, the first war in history that was fought with 9mm pistols only. And I saw a fucking Indian walking around with his body armor on. It was fucking crazy. And the guys then came to my gate and they said, yeah, we just want to check, you know, whether the guy may have been hiding in the back of your property. Next thing I had like 15 fucking people walking around my property, checking everything, looking for stuff. And so that came out of one crime. There was another one where some blacks tried to attack some old people in a house on a Sunday morning. And in that case, the security people even managed to call in the fucking useless cops. It was the first time in my life I've seen a police helicopter. We had a police helicopter here hunting for blacks. I actually got it on film and I checked it. But what I'm getting at is that when things come to your doorstep, even quiet people, you'll see how fucking wild they're going to get. Maybe one little one I can add quickly is I saw a little bit of film footage yesterday from Sweden, where some fucking blacks were walking around in Sweden, and there were people with a camera. There was like a news crew, and they'd done their filming, and everything was quiet, and then they started packing up to leave. And when they were doing that, a bunch of blacks started coming up and fucking hitting the cameraman and everything and so forth. You're not going to believe how this video footage ended. As these blacks are insulting everybody and fucking hitting people, you won't believe it. A normal Swede, a guy who's disabled in his little battery driven wheelchair, fucking drives at full speed into a fucking black. I've got it on fucking video. I'll see if I can find it and add it to this video. You're not going to believe it. A guy in a fucking wheelchair, battery driven wheelchair, whacks into the fucking fucking.
Yeah, black. This is the like, you can see how people will change from the satisfied tranquility of the life we thought was going to be permanent, you know, like this peaceful ha 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 fun and games and so forth. And that was never a natural condition. Like, normally all living creatures have to sort of fight for their existence. Normally it's some kind of a competition. And now we are seeing, once we understand like what's happened to us, then just a little example of that, the guy in the wheelchair, when he even uses his – he didn't have an excuse that he's in a wheelchair and go away. He actually used his wheelchair as a battering ram, you know, to do some damage. I noticed myself that when I see these invaders on our streets, I get this revulsion. I say, these people do not belong here. These people are not healthy for us. These people are destroying our civilization. Everything that was so nice, everything they came for, you know, that is, they're destroying it. until we will be the same shithole kind of a country that they came from. I mean, you cannot take someone from a third world slum and think that they are going to be a civilized replacement for us. No, this is if we are too stupid to see that, we don't deserve to survive or exist. But the examples you're giving me are, yeah, people are not that too stupid. They're just a little bit slow sometimes to catch on. But once they do catch on, there is no stopping or going back to the previous condition. I mean, a little gazelle or a little deer or something that is being hunted by a lion does not just go back to grazing and relaxing. They fight and run until they either are killed or get away. And this is what we're now, see, the whole time when we were being slowly brought down into this demoralized and subverted condition, we did not understand that we were under attack. We were at war, but we didn't realize it. That's how the Jew works. That's why even the Mossad mantra is we war by way of deception. I mean, they say it open, they spell it out. And like 9/11, I mean, just to take 9/11 as an example, when people would always say, well, why would Israel do that to us? They're our friends, I thought. Well, the facts are they did it. In fact, 9/11 was how the Jew has rewarded the Americans for bombing Germany back into the Stone Age in 1945. That's the thanks you get. That's how the Jew says, thanks for your services, and now it's your turn to die. You know, And that's why even – let's just go back to these, you know, historical events like the world wars. Understanding everything leaves us Germans who had suffered the most, you know, from the bombing and so forth. But we have no – we don't even – I mean, if we were vengeful and wanted to punish those who did that to us, well, you've already been punished. Look at the UK and their prime minister. I mean, if the United Kingdom can't find a single white man to run the country, come on, please. If the United States gets rewarded by a little 9/11 and all the white people are supposed to now be exterminated from that continent, how can we think of revenge? We have to work together. It was better to be the bombed than the bomber, okay? It's better to be the subject of the object of a crime than the criminal, kind of thing. And once we understand everything that's happened, this will drive all of us together as a single unit. The whites, I mean, I know myself, when I see a white face, I just feel like, yeah, that's us. That's, you know, I feel a closeness that I cannot possibly feel when I see a Negro or an Indian or a Pakistani or a Chinese or whatever. When I see a European face, that's us, you know, it's a heart bond.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, in many respects, this could ultimately ever happen to us that's brought us together, because we're always competing against each other and have been doing so for hundreds of years. And now suddenly we see, you know what, we got the same problem at the same time in the same form. And it could be a very wonderful thing, actually, in the long run, that when this is over, white men will be walking around and we'll be high-fiving each other, and, you know, we'll have a bonding that we never really had before. And regarding the will to survive, I forgot to mention
so much, you know, often. So often I say this is actually the best thing that's happened to us, because it shows us our true value, our true worth, and no more brother wars amongst our people anymore. We've seen through that and see what's happened. Like, how could we have allowed ourselves to be so manipulated to fight those wars? And in hindsight, the Jew had these sorts of structures for as a parasite for himself long before we did. I mean, even that famous incident and the that was the Battle of Waterloo or something like that, when the Rothschild used a passenger pigeon or something to get the message. They knew who had won, and then they lied about who had won and who had lost, and then they made huge amount of money with that deception sort of thing. The synagogues have, and the Jews, like Henry Ford said, the international Jew, these people have always had international connections. That is what allowed them to get such a stranglehold over us, was through these international connections that our kings and our leaders and so forth actually benefited from the internet before there was an internet, because every king would have his Jews, you know. And then if you had your Jews and I had my Jews, and we protected those Jews because they did certain things that our people didn't like to do, like collect taxes or whatever, you know, international business. And if you threatened my Jews, then I would say, well, if you touch mine, I'm going to touch yours, you know. And so the Jews have to work for the kings or the emperors. We can just eliminate them and ascend on the throne ourselves. But what they have overlooked there in their greed was that these kings and rulers that they were working for were also those who were protecting them. So they eliminated them. Then we saw the full extent of their greed and their savageness and so forth. And that's the problem we have to deal with now. And the time is ticking, the clock is ticking, and there's a point in time where those who have not yet come around to be on the side of truth, they will just be hunted down and killed, whether they're Jew or not. It doesn't matter, because if you're a non-Jew and you're supporting their agenda, then that's treason. That's absolute a traitor. And those Jews, they have always come over and crawled to us on their knees. I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those. And that's what we expect now. Truth is out there. We will talk about all the big lies and all these controlled opposition. And there's a lot of media out there now where people are giving, they're pretending to be, you know, from the military, or maybe they are from the military, but then they'll still harp on about, well, the Nazis and the Holocaust. And as soon as they bring up any of those words, they have exposed themselves as just being a cheap fraud, and you just turn them off. You don't listen to them anymore. So these fundamental big lies, those are on the table. When I talk to anybody, in fact, the people that came to me from the police here before, when I was still in prison, and I told them, I says, if I ever heard that you, behind my back, you're saying that Schaefer believes in the Holocaust, I would have to charge you for evil, evil smearing and you know, like, that's just, come on, please. It's like if you're accusing your neighbor of being a child molester and there's no such truth in it. You can be held accountable for that. And I told him in the same way, you talk behind my back that I believe in the Holocaust, I'm going to charge you. So just, you know, oh, Mr. Schaefer, that's against blah, blah, blah. I says, blah, 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 blah. I made my point. Pay attention, you know.
That is
nothing. They're silent immediately. They don't talk about it anymore. They're afraid because they know that we're right.
That is brilliant. You just take things and just flip it around and toss it straight back into their faces. And you know, it doesn't matter what their training is. The fact is, they're humans. They have got brains like you and me, and they have to say to themselves, you know, isn't it strange? You know, it's not just this guy and the other one. And, you know, it's got to start having an effect on them after a time. That they you can't tell me that they are just like robots and they'll just do their thing over and over again. They are people too. And it's wonderful what you're doing. I just want to comment on what you were saying, mocking the British Britain run by non-whites. I must tell you, it is horrific to see what Britain has become. And I talk to people in the UK, and it's not a guy who runs England who is a non-white. Scotland is also run by a non-white. I think a Pakistani. He's like a white-hating Pakistani. I'm not joking. And he like talks against whites and everything. I can't remember if it was King Charles or somebody who actually told them, good God, can't these whites see they're run by Indians and Pakistanis? Are you fucking nuts? How the hell can you even do this? This is like when Obama ran America. I had a very good, very solid supporter, an old lady who later died. Her name was Joanne Wilcox. Joanne Wilcox, when Obama was elected, she wrote to me and she said, Jan, that guy is not my president, period. The end of story. I reject Obama as the president. But look at the British. And I just want to add a quick one for you, Alfred. I've been going through a lot of different memoirs of Germans, And I got an interesting memoir of a German who was with Hitler before Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany. He was in the Nazi Party towards the end of the 1920s, early 1930s. And this guy wrote one hell of an interesting biography, and he writes about his discussions with Hitler, many discussions with Hitler. And this guy was very clever as well. This guy may well have played a critical role in the creation of Nazi economics. But you know what this guy, what came through to me from his memoirs was I was amazed by Hitler's love of the British. Hitler loved the British. He wanted, and I'm not just saying a little bit, I'm saying a lot, okay? He loved the British like crazy. He said, we are the same people. And he was literally saying we shouldn't have like brother wars and conflicts. He was saying that, you know, when Britain competes against Germany and France and so forth, we can compete with each other up to a point, but we mustn't start like killing each other and that kind of thing. So, I'm not joking with you, like an almost insane love of the people of Britain, especially the English. And this guy had to constantly calm him down and say, Hitler, you know, Adolf, these people might not behave the way that you think they're going to behave. You think that they're going to be friendly with us, but they could turn against us. And he'd cite the reasons. And then Hitler would come and say to him, no, these people are better than that. They won't do that. It was wild. I never knew how much Hitler loved the British. Another huge industrial war like World War I. He actually said that. He said, we're never going to see a war like that again. And I must tell you, it's one of the most amazing things I've read. And all these people who said to him, no, you got to be careful of these British, you know, blah, blah, blah. But look at the British. Where has it got them? They didn't have to fight Hitler. He was only interested in having a alliance with Britain, and he wanted the British Empire to exist. He wanted the British to be as strong as they were, and he saw the Royal Navy and the German army as being on the same side.
What you're describing there now is what we're seeing now with the brother war that the Jews are doing everything to get in motion with the Ukraine. I mean, it's the same thing. The Ukraine has always been part of Russia. They're trying to instigate a brother war whose agenda in the end, whose target in the end is actually Germany, to completely destroy Germany as the heart of Europe. And that's we are now. Well, it's like the Jewish agenda of with three world wars, we can take the throne of this earth and have it for 1,000 years kind of thing. Every single thing the Jews in the propaganda have always accused the Germans of wanting to do is what their own agenda was. And the only thing that the Germans and Adolf Hitler did was to try to prevent this agenda from progressing, because back then the Jews wanted to rule the world, not from Moscow, but from Berlin. And now they're trying to do it, well, I suppose from Brussels, you know, or I don't know where, or in Jerusalem, I suppose, in the end. But yeah, right now it is the entire, not only the white race, but the entire planet against this disease of Jewish insanity and the power of money. And that's what makes the Jew a Jew is because ever since the thing called money has been in existence, which goes back thousands of years, they have understood how we can be misdirected in our interhuman relations through money, deception, and so forth, and that's why the Jews always have to take a society down, demoralize it, and pervert it before gender nonsense and everything else that we see today. It is the total destruction of our moral code so that we have no ability to unite in a meaningful way and fight this life-threatening problem called the Jew.
Yeah, Alfred. Well, I've got other thoughts on these Jews. I regard them as the lower man, basically the leaders of, let's call it the leaders of the subhumans, the top subhumans. Yes. And they cannot function the way we function. They are degenerates, they're human garbage, and so forth. Well, the one war that I have been laughing a lot about is the Israeli war. That Hamas war. I've been laughing at that thing since day one. You know, when Hamas, I mean, it's just a small bunch of Hamas, okay? And, you know, Israel isn't that big. Israel isn't that big. It's Israel could actually, do you know that South Africa, I forget now, South Africa, I think is, I'm not sure if it's 20 times bigger than Israel. It's at least 20 times bigger than Israel. It might even be bigger than that. But I was looking on a map at the size of Israel compared to South Africa. Like Israel would fit in the distance from Johannesburg to Pretoria, a little bit longer than that. And it's a kind of a distance you drive in half a day. Okay. So Israel, and they actually kicked the Jews' asses. And I laughed. I've been laughing so much at that war because the Jews have got like heavy weaponry. I'm talking, they got big artillery, heavy artillery that can easily shoot from one side of Israel to the other, not north to south, but east to west. And they've got like the latest, they've got like American aircraft with hectic bombs and stuff on it. And do you know that some Jews fled from Israel to Hungary? I think some Jews fled from Israel to Hungary within like a week of the attack. I'm like, what the fuck? Jews are like sitting, cowering like the fucking useless cowards that they are, sitting and cowering. I think it was in Hungary. Oh, no, you know, we fled from Israel. You know, they're trying to kill us. You're in the freaking Jewish state that's armed to the fucking teeth. They got all the latest American stuff and they don't have a little bit of it. They got a lot of it. Okay. And here these fucking Jews ran away to Europe. I was like, are you shitting me? Jews are running from Israel to fucking Europe because of a small bunch of Hamas terrorists. And
well, you know,
go for it.
Going to Europe. See, like the agenda, the long term agenda is that's what the Jew Zelensky is responsible now to basically ethnically cleanse as much of old Khazaria, the you know eastern Ukraine. Ukraine as possible to make space for the Jews that are now living in Palestine or, you know, Israel, because they know that long term they have no chance to. That's their whole agenda now. That's why they're doing everything to make to get as many Ukrainians leaving the Ukraine to go to Germany and everywhere else. They get the special bonuses, you know, they make it so they do everything just to get them to leave that territory, to make it as with as few and remaining inhabitants as possible to make way for the Jews coming out of fleeing from their, you know, stolen property called Israel or Palestine. Another interesting point now is in Canada, they are passing laws that is supposed to disenfranchise all the European settler people, which is all of Canada, the Canadians. Because now they're suddenly saying, you know, they always say it's international law. Oh, international law for the Indian people, you know, the what do you call it? Indigene Völker in German, it's called the indigenous people. And so now they're passing laws. They're saying, oh, these are international laws from the UN so that the indigenous people can, the cities and so forth, like Vancouver, I guess is all now property of some Indian tribe. So they're going to have to pay rent to some, you know, like this is the sort of scams that they're pulling off to take everything away from the white people in Canada. At the same time, well, how long has Israel been there? I mean, since 1948, they just, by conquest, let's talk about the indigenous people of Palestine and their rights. You know, you see that this double standards is so in your face now. And that's what we're seeing now. Like, either we get on our feet and or the Jew will, in fact, have us all exterminated. But they won't, because we are waking up, you know.
Yeah, Alfred. Yeah. Great stuff that you've been talking about there. I just want to mention that I was watching with the Israelis now. So now they want to fight the little handful of Palestinians and the and I was looking to see how quickly it's going to take them to kill them all, because the Palestinian army in Gaza isn't big, eh? But the only thing that they had done is they had like tunnels and things. And I've been watching I watched that war for a good couple of weeks, and I was amazed at how useless the Jews were. I was looking at this and I was saying to myself, good God, you know, because these Jews have got insane weaponry, okay, like insane weaponry. And I'm saying you're up against just a couple of guys who got like AK-47s and a few things, and even the rockets and things that the people of Gaza have got, it's nothing more than a giant firecracker. You can't equate it to like a factory produced actual missile, all right? And I was looking at this and watching how slow and useless the Israeli army is. And then when the Houthis started attacking ships, I was like, yes, now you're talking, okay? They're starting to fuck up globalism, and it's already causing like big problems. So when I look at this stupid Israel war, I don't see the Jews actually getting much done, and I'm amazed that these like low tech Arab Muslim types, they're actually hanging in there, and they're given this Jew state, which is getting billions and billions of dollars, including military weaponry, and it's all the latest stuff from America. And I'm saying, hey, these Jews, there's like 9 million or whatever there, 8 million or whatever there, and they're pretty bloody useless, I must tell you. And they're cowards. The fact that they've been fleeing, I even saw a thing where Jews were bitching about Jewish orphans from Ukraine. So, you know, these people are basically cowards, useless scum, and they are just, they're always running around. They can't even really stand up for anything. Interestingly enough, because I'm going to wind up now. Interestingly enough, Hilaire Belloc, back in 1920 when he wrote that book, The Jews, Hilaire Belloc had a most fascinating discussion about Israel. He was saying, if the Jews get this Palestinian state, and for the first time ever, they now have an actual Jewish state, he said that this is going to put them in a tough spot, because he pointed out that if they actually have a homeland, then there are excuses that they won't have that they've been bullshitting the whites with until then. Yeah. And, Hilaire Belloc went into this in quite great detail. And Hitler also, I've got quite a number of, there are a lot of discussions where Hitler also spoke about this Israel thing if it comes into being. So, you know, these Jews are just, they're sacks of shit, that they're spoiled. And I think something that you said, just two final points from me quickly, yes, is Ben Clarkson of the Church of Creativity. Ben Clarkson wrote in the 1980s that all these immigrants pouring into America, Ben Clarkson said, what they are creating is a human pigsty. A human pigsty.
Very good.
That's what they're creating. And of course, now the human pigsty is freaking everywhere. And the final thing that you said that really, I can't emphasize this more than enough myself, is you've said we've let things go too far. We have. All whites have let everything go too far.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to do to sort of like end the show today is the key elements that we have to the people like Hitler and that other author you mentioned had warned about if Israel gets that piece of land, the disaster that spells for us. And you look at what Israel has. It is because of their lie of this infantile nonsense called the Holocaust, and now they're getting a new Holocaust museum everywhere. There is no extradition treaty that Israel has with any country in the world because of the singularity of this evil, nonsensical lie of the Holocaust. So that means it has a safe house on planet Earth for the most serious criminals that this planet has ever seen. That is why there was plane loads of Jews, Israelis, that flew back to Israel after they did 9/11, etc., etc., etc. This immunity from any kind of prosecution went to their heads, and they swole up, and then they thought, well, they got away with 9/11 so far. They can just do a little bit of mass injection the entire planet. As they were mass injecting the goyim, especially the white goyim with this bioweapon against corona snakes, they were celebrating in Israel and gloating about, oh yeah, these corona is only for the goyim. It's not for us. And then when they were telling us about, oh yeah, in Israel is vaccinated to this degree and that degree, oh yeah, it's fine that they tell us that. Of course, it's all just bogus lies. They weren't vaccinating Jews. They'd give themselves a placebo to make it look like they were injecting them with something. No. Oh, they might inject a few, so a few will die from that stuff. But it was to really inject the as many Aryan stock people as possible to permanently remove them from this planet. And that's the situation that we have right now. So as we said before, we should never, ever have let it go this far. So now the next phase, if we don't stop them or if they go crazy, is they're trying to trigger a nuclear war on European soil. And that's the stakes right now. And that's why I say right now it is way past, the last minute to get everybody woken up and to stop cooperating with those evil monsters. And that's all I can say right now.
Okay, Alfred, thank you so much for being on this show and for the chat. It was awesome chatting to you. And we'll talk again. But yeah, very, very awesome. And the only thing whites need to know is help teach other whites. And don't ever say things like, oh, well, everyone's a fool. They could have taken the time to read that book and they didn't. People are busy. People are just trying to live their lives. We have to keep working on them. And it does eventually change them. And I also see lots and lots of people coming on board. I'm seeing South Africans coming to my website, and they don't even come to the African crisis one. They go straight to History Reviewed. Well, I'm talking about Jews and stuff, and they are like, and they don't have a problem with that. I must tell you, there are things that I'm seeing that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. So I'm happy as hell. And the main thing is, wake up whites and let the common white man push back. Wait until that comes. And that's when you're going to see the fireworks. Okay, thanks for everything, Alfred.
Very good, Jan. I agree with everything you just said. Thank you very much. Until the next time.
Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you'll fight, every game you play, you will reach the top. At the top, that is where you will stay.